You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Welcome back to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barron, and I'm your host. And I'm so pumped you're here, where we take up the best business practices, clinical practices, all those kind of practices from the best practices all over the country. And today we're going to be talking to a fantastic human being and an incredible clinical mind, Dr. Bob Winter. And you are going to love this. And we're going to get to see the vantage point and how you see a little bit better vantage point from both sides. So, stick around. You're really going to enjoy this. Now, a couple things. I always love doing this, and I joke with you guys, like some of you young dentists, I love you guys. And so over 38,000 of you joined us in the COVID conference, and some of you are young dentists and dental students. And it's so funny because we do all these videos. You guys never watch them. You just download the audios. And I'm so happy to do that you're doing that. So if you're listening on Spotify, I want you to do me a favor. Just go down to the subscribe button and hit the subscribe button because I want you to keep showing up. You're going to see every single week, I'm going to bring you a brand new expert in dentistry and just share best practices so you guys can have a better practice and a better life, and I don't want you to miss out. Number two, if you haven't joined our private Facebook group, I want you to join us over there. It's called Best Practices, powered by ACT Dental, and you'll see it's just a bunch of people in dentistry trying to help other people in dentistry, and it's an awesome community just to be a part of. And then lastly, we get this question all the time. What do you guys do? Number one, dentistry is an awesome profession, but we're coaches. We're just a small coaching team. We love working with practices one-on-one. So if you're a practice owner and you're thinking, gosh, this could be a little bit better. Maybe I just enjoy my practice a little bit better. Maybe have a better culture, maybe improve the profitability, or maybe not work so hard. Feel free to join us over at actdental.com where we got a team of coaches. We're just happy to listen to you and help you create a practice so that you can enjoy going to work. So remember, dentistry is the greatest profession ever. But it's how you practice. That's probably the most important thing. It's got to be something you enjoy doing the way you enjoy doing it. And speaking of that, I want to introduce my guest today. So Bob, I was reminiscing. It's been, I don't know how many years ago. I've met you several times. You know, you're a popular guy. I'm not. But one of the times we shared a limo. Actually, I got off a plane and then I got into a limo. I'm like, holy crap, you're like Bobby Winter. And you're like, yeah, come on. And you and I went over to Jeff Rouse's house. I don't remember how many years ago that was. I laughed so hard that night. That was such a fun night. And it's been a while since I've seen you. Now, I know who you are. but I want people to know who's Dr. Bob Winter. What do you do? Who are you? You know, where do you practice?
Well, there's a lot I could cover in maybe a short period of ground here. I'm a practicing prosthodontist, so practice limited to prosthodontics in Southern California. Built a new dental practice in Irvine. Connected to that is a new dental laboratory called Aesthetics by Design. A year or so ago, I asked Greg Hinzer and his wife to join Bobby, my wife, and me to open up a new dental laboratory. So launch that. We have 14 dental technicians and service people, dentists from all over the country. So that's exciting. And then I spend a significant amount of my time actually teaching with Spear Education. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Spear. Been involved with that since its infancy here in Scottsdale, so 11 or so years ago. And so it's I juggle lots of balls. I develop new products and new concepts and try and address both clinical and technical attributes in everything I do. So it's exciting times in dentistry right now.
Yeah, and that's a good gig if you can get it. Live in Scottsdale, own a business in California. I mean, I want to be when I grow up. So now I got to ask, I want people to know the story. Like, how did you get involved in both sides of it? Like the lab and dentistry and PROS? Like, give us a little on that journey. How did that happen?
Yeah. So, I have a number of brothers and a sister, but, the brother that maybe influenced me a little bit going into dentistry, yeah, he's 2 years older than I am. And he went into dentistry and my thoughts were, I wanted to be an ophthalmologist and I was going to go down the medical track and lo and behold, I wind up in dental school. And so, he said one thing that could help me the most to get through all the hands-on part of dental school is learn dental technology. So I learned dental technology actually in dental school, and I really enjoyed it. I love the creative side of things. And then I graduated from Marquette in 1981 and immediately went into my grad PROS program in Milwaukee at the VA Medical Center. And there we were required to do all of our own technical work for all the patients. And so I spent at least 100 hours a week working on patients and then on the laboratory side of things. So I always loved the creative side. And in grad school, not only learning the clinical things, I started taking courses from all the top dental technicians in the world. And so I continued to do that after I finished my grad PROS program. And I was able to meet a lot of really great people. So when going into practice in 1984, one of the courses I took was from Willy Geller from Zurich, Switzerland. And we got to be really good friends. And I started lecturing, actually, fortunately, worldwide the first year out of grad PROS. So I traveled the world, not only teaching, but then taking courses and hanging out with certain people. And so entering my career in private practice, I'd work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week treating patients. And then second shift would start at 6 in the evening and go till midnight, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Look forward to weekends so I could work, you know, 16, 18 hours a day in the lab. So I spent a significant amount of my time from the laboratory side of things. So that's in a nutshell. I've continued to do that and love doing it. And so it gives me a unique opportunity to teach here with dentists at Spear and see the clinical side of what they're facing with on a daily basis, and then see the technical side of things, doing a lot of their laboratory cases. So I can help people from clinical application as well as technical things.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, you've never told me this. How did you get from Milwaukee to California? How did that happen? Like, what was it?
Yeah, so practicing in Brookfield, Wisconsin for about a dozen years, maybe 15 years. And I started teaching courses in my office in Brookfield. And lo and behold, I found out that because of the climate, a lot of dentists didn't want to travel into the winter in the Midwest. So I decided to leave Milwaukee and go to Newport Beach, California. And I was there for a short period of time, along with a dental technician that actually moved from California to be with me in Milwaukee. So Don Cornell and I built a dental laboratory and training center in Newport Beach. And within a short time, I realized it wasn't the practice I was really looking for. So I already knew Frank Spear, and on the lecture circuit, so to speak. And he was changing his practice from Tacoma to Seattle. And so I helped Frank design his office in Seattle. And once completed that, I moved up to Seattle and practiced in Seattle for 5 years. And at that time, I got to know Greg Kinzer. He was in his grad pros program because I was on faculty at the University of Washington. And then Greg came into practice with Frank and myself. And so I was able to practice with Greg as well. And then after 5 years, because I had the lab and training center in Newport Beach, decided to simplify life a little bit rather than commuting between the two. And so I moved back to Southern California and saw patients there and had the training center and laboratory. So that's a little bit of a roundabout circle, but I've moved a couple times.
That's awesome. That's quite the journey, buddy. That's awesome. Yeah. Now, and today we're going to be talking about, you know, the realities on both sides. And I always love for you to describe the why. We're going to get into the what and the how, and you get to see a lot of this. So tell us about the why. What, you know, and you're a great educator of a lot of great dentists. What's so important for young dentists to understand today about this concept?
Yeah, in dental school, we learn a lot of, I'll say, basic concepts, of course. And then when we get into practice, we've learned a lot of clinical steps. But unfortunately, in most schools, we don't learn a lot about the communication and interaction with dental laboratories. We just expect certain outcomes, and yet we don't communicate very effectively with dental laboratories. We just expect perfection, and we don't know how to interact and communicate, so because we're not taught that in school. So, you know, the why would be we just have to, what I enjoy is interacting with clinicians to help them understand and become better clinicians, but understand why we're getting certain things back from the laboratory, why it may or may not meet expectations, why material selection is important, and what materials might be appropriate in certain situations. So, yeah, it's getting people to understand both sides of the coin, because I'm not trying to make dentists technicians, but to collaborate well as a team. As everyone knows, if you have a team of periodontist, oral maxillofacial surgeon, orthodontist, endodontist, whatever the team is, an important integral part of that is the dental laboratory. So a whole communication understanding of that is critical.
Yeah. And you've been involved with the lab a lot. Like, have you ever seen this much change in such a short period of time, just in the interaction, the technology? Like, it's a pretty exciting time, but it's moving pretty fast, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And that's, for me, really exciting to see. You know, we think some of the about some of the things we've experienced in our lifetimes. And I've been around long enough to see implants being introduced into this country as we know it today from the Brandemark implants, right? Before that, we were staples and subperiosteals and so forth. But I've seen a lot. And as you described, today's technology is evolving so quickly because of the digital world, whether it's digital photography or even things like we're doing right now. We can communicate with individuals around the world real time. So yeah, that simplifies things, but it's not necessarily the panacea that solves our problems. And in the digital world, there are some current weaknesses in how it relates to the traditional analog world. And so I'm just super excited to see all of it evolve. And hopefully sooner than later, there's a seamless transition from, I'll say, analog to 100% digital.
Yeah. Now, I know you guys get a chance to train thousands of dentists. What's the one thing that you see that is the biggest challenge for young dentists embracing this? You know, what concepts do you spend most of the time, like, really investing, helping them see that could change their careers?
I guess, honestly, it goes back to the basic tenets in prosthodontic training. I try and, because most of the people we are exposed to are general practitioners. And I said, the only thing that makes me as a specialist, a prosthodontist, different than anyone else's. I'm trained to look at patients comprehensively and to diagnose and treatment plan comprehensively. When it comes to procedures I do, it's no different than any restorative person. So it's all about seeing the patient in a holistic manner and comprehensively. And in dental school, they get a reasonable exposure to that. But once you start seeing patients, you realize it goes beyond one tooth or two teeth or three teeth or quadrants. It's full mouth evaluations. And not to say that everyone needs a reconstruction. That's the last thing I want to consider. But it's looking at and managing people comprehensively. So for the young individuals, I think that's one of the keys. We can treat individual teeth fairly predictably. But when you see people with debilitated dentitions, severely worn dentitions, multiple missing teeth, then looking at the big picture and understanding comprehensively what their needs are, I think is the key.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think most dentists would agree, finding the lab tech, that's one of the most important parts of a great team, is somebody that can understand. And as I get a chance to talk to lab techs, like a lot of lab techs say, you know, there's a lot of times we don't get to see the finished product. You know, I'm working with compromised information, and then we take the blame in a lot of respects. So it'd almost be fun, Bob, one day to do like a here point counterpoint type of thing. What else do you hear from the lab techs that say, gosh, I wish I could see this element or understand this element about the patient? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head, actually, in your first comments that unfortunately, there's a lack of effective communication between the dentist and dental laboratory. If you look at the percentage of prescriptions forms that are completely filled out, or at least to get the enough information to do the cases comprehensively, it's lacking. So the expectations are really high of what you want in return, but the upfront communication is lacking. So that's where I try and spend a significant amount of my time, both teaching the dentist, but also with our dental laboratory, Aesthetics by Design, is the collaboration of the laboratory to help the dentist think through the cases. Because in many dentists, the more comprehensive cases, they want the dentist or the technicians to solve the problems. But the dentist has to realize technicians do not have a dental training background, right? They can look at photos, they can look at mounted casts, and they can look at how you make the nuts and bolts work. But it's still relying on the dentist's clinical skills and understanding to help really definitively drive the treatment plan. So, yeah, for me, it's all about effective communication and collaboration is the key.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
And now you also know that you get to talk a lot of dentists, and some of them go, gosh, the day I can get my own lab tech in my, and I'm like, that's not the goal. Like, you can actually find someone who can communicate, but you don't have to employ them and have them build. And would you find that to be true? I mean, the communication, if you want, it's a lot better now. And you have the ability to have, you know, benefits without having to bring that all in-house. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Because of the digital world and communication, you know, it could be, for example, I could be talking to you as a dental technician and talking about a case in real time rather than trying to just put words on a sheet of paper. Photographs are essential, quality information into the lab. But the key is that making the effort and finding the right laboratory that's willing to collaborate. In the end, there's all kinds of laboratories, just like there's all kinds of dentists. If the laboratory is you know, on a good enough level and just trying to match a shade tab and send it out the door. They're doing higher volume. That's one approach, and it may service a lot of people well. But if you're trying to elevate your outcomes to patients, then you have to work with laboratories that want to put a little bit more effort into that collaboration. And that can certainly be found around the country where, again, the digital world allows us to do that more effectively.
Yeah. And I want to go back to a couple things. You know, let's talk about the discrepancies that happen between clinical realities and technical realities. You know, and I hear that too. Dentists are like, yeah, but it just, you know, I get it, but I'm working in somebody's mouth, you know, and you get to see that. Is there anything that comes to mind when you talk about those two discrepancies, the clinical and technical realities?
Yeah, maybe going back to the basic restorative tenets, it's typically when you're working with a laboratory, you're fabricating, well, at least our laboratory, indirect restoration. So veneers, crowns, implant restorations. But when you're dealing with preparation of teeth, and then the fabrication of the outcome. In the traditional world, you're dealing with impression materials and you working with silicones, and then you're working with stone dyes and so forth. And then in the digital world, you're taking scans of teeth rather than using traditional silicones. And both of those basic elements of trying to capture accuracy of margins is critical. And you can have errors on both sides, whether it's analog or digital. And if there's inadequacies in the impression, then the dental technician cannot read the margin. And if you look at remakes in laboratories, the most common is shade. But after shade, it's getting into the fit of the restoration. And the reason I'm mentioning this at the moment, it's almost like a black and white issue. Either you can see the margin or not. And those people working digitally have an opportunity to blow the image up on their monitor and try and discern the margins. And they can easily mark their margin and take the responsibility for their preparation finish line. Where in the analog world and you're working with silicone impressions and stone models, now, classically, the dental technician has to find the margin, mark the margin, and make the restoration to that. So the integrity of fit at the end of the day comes to assessing it on a model or a cast. And in the analog world, we can do that effectively because we have the standard, which is a stone die, and you can check the fit at all kinds of angles and different magnifications, whether it's, you know, 3 or 5 or 10 or 15 power magnification. But when you're in the digital world and then you're in the printing of models, that's the current weak link that I see, is the printed models don't have the accuracy at the margin that an analog stone cast have. So the dental technician really can't check the intimacy of fit. And therefore, if they can't check the intimacy of fit before it leaves the dental laboratory, then that would be checked only clinically. And if there's a discrepancy or error, the dental laboratory might be put to blame for not fitting well. But if they can't check it on a printed model effectively, then, you know, it's a challenge, honestly. So I look forward to the day where the accuracy of printed models is the same as a polyvinyl impression and a stone model. So I think that can revolutionize dentistry, honestly. And we're getting closer, but that's maybe the weak link. So understanding of that, I think, is essential.
Yeah. And you pointed to that earlier, and I was going to ask you just to dig deeper, but I think you just said it is like, why is it digital there? And let me maybe rephrase it another, because I get these questions too, Bob. You get these young dentists and I love them. I love their enthusiasm, but they're like, I got to get a CBCT and all this. I got to get digital before I can become I'm like, you don't really need, I mean, granted they're nice, but there's some things that can happen along the process. So when a young dentist comes to you and says, hey, analog, digital, should I just jump in digital? I mean, what's your advice when they ask you that question?
Again, it's a fabulous question because if you want to be on cutting edge and whether you're younger or older, maybe a lot of us want to be on the forefront of things. And the digital world in dentistry for sure puts us on the forefront. But at the end of the day, I always say you have to think as an analog dentist in order to use the digital technology. At least it helps immensely. So the more you learn on the analog side of things, because currently we still have to use our hands and our brains to prep teeth and take impressions and do things like that. So we have to take the restoration and fit it in the mouth or make adjustments to interproximal contacts, inclusion. So it boils down to using our hands and using traditional modalities. So if you're doing it digitally, the advantage of digitally is if you're taking an intraoral scan and now you're milling in your office, now the patient's tooth in the mouth becomes the die in the articulator. So you eliminate the confusion crossing over between digital and analog. You don't need a printed model, for example. So that's where the digital world for years has been, I'll say, really, really high quality if you choose to make it that way. But when it comes to working with a dental laboratory, usually that means there has to be a transition from digital to analog. And there is a weak link currently, and that is the printed model. So I'm all for digital. I'm all for learning it. But yet, you don't have to do that to become a quality dentist, right? If you're coming out of school, younger individuals, the learning and doing the traditional approach is still a great option. It's been the standard of care for a long time, and there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Yeah, no, you and I, we talk about this, you know, I get the chance to hang around the same people you're hanging around with, but you know, when it comes to a dentist taking education, I always say, like, it's not so much the widget, it's not the technology. Like, you got to be around great treatment planner thinkers. And they go, well, why would I go to Spear? Like, I already learned. I'm like, no, it's not what's going to happen. It's just your thinking is going to be improved. It's very powerful to listen to you, to Frank, or great. Like when Greg talks, you're like, wow, that's, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. Like, it's the thinking that gets polished, not so much the hands. The hands come with it, but would you agree with that?
Yeah, it depends on what type of courses you're taking, of course. In a seminar, all you're doing is listening and observing images that are being shown. But the core concepts and the thought process is the key to the success of everything. When you're taking workshops at Spear, and I'm involved in, it's approaching 80 days a year in workshops. So they're all 3-day workshops. And there we do get to work with our hands and develop hand skill. But with that being said, in the introductions and all those workshops, I said, if you open your mind and you open your heart to the concepts, and if you believe in the concepts and you understand the concepts, then it's a matter of developing hand-eye coordination and skills. So one of the analogies I use is, let's say you enjoy golf and maybe you're not the best golfer. So you take a golf lesson and that's typically an hour long. And the golf professional as a coach will analyze the swing and give you suggestions on how to improve that swing. But during that hour long session, you may not make transformational changes. And what would the pro say? You got to go to the driving range now. You've got to go there every day or maybe 5 or 10 times before you take your next lesson. Because if you come back too early, you come back without going and practicing. I'm going to tell you exactly the same thing I just told you today. So you're wasting your time and your money. So I like the concept of, again, opening your mind to understanding the philosophies and the concepts and then developing your skills subsequently.
Yeah. And Bob, if you were training me, you'd need more than an hour for each lesson. I get it. It's so cool to watch you work. Now, I love asking people, like, you get to see a lot of stuff. It's anyone's guess what the future looks like, but you're privy to a lot of conversations about what's ahead. And, you know, I'll ask you the question I asked Bill Robbins. Have you ever Can you remember a more exciting time to do dentistry than now? Like, this is crazy exciting, you know?
Yeah, it is. And you think, I guess, based on my age, you would think, hey, maybe it's time to slow down and hang it up. But yet, it is the most exciting time. You know, I think I'm as good doing dentistry or technical work or product development and idea development than I've ever been. So I have no thoughts about slowing down or changing because I love doing what I'm doing. And because of what's going on in dentistry, it's accelerating exponentially, right? And a lot of it has to do with the digital world, material development, and so forth. So I can't imagine not being involved in dentistry right now.
Yeah. What can you, what do you think we'll see in the next 3 or 5 years when it comes to this aspect of dentistry? Any?
It's already being worked on, and I think it to have it come to fruition to a, I'll call it a significant level number of dentists would be important. And that's taking the digital world beyond looking at a 2D screen and doing, quote, 3D planning. So I think we really need to do 3D planning on everything. And that's looking at 3D facial imaging and relating that to the skull and arch form and position, and then three-dimensionally analyzing teeth. And we do that when we're looking at patients, but yet now planning and interacting as teams and looking three-dimensionally, I think, is one of the things that will advance our treatment planning and treatment options for our patients.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm going to have you back again and again and again if you let me. But any last thoughts that you have just on this whole clinical technical reality for dentists that might be watching this?
Just keep your thoughts and expectations grounded in reality. I always talk about my perfect world. If I have a perfect world, I would do this, this, and this, and this, and have this outcome. But we realize that there is no perfect world. So you have to be grounded in the reality of what's currently available. And if you're challenged by certain things that you're getting back, I'll say technically, working with a dental laboratory, troubleshooting and trying to grow together as a team is important. And being grounded in the expectations of what's possible, but always shoot for the stars and always evolve and grow and develop, but yet still grounded in the reality of what's current today.
Yeah. Okay. So I want you to talk about a couple things before I let you go. I want you to talk about your lab. So if somebody's never experienced your lab, what do you guys do? And I put a link for it. I also want you to talk about what you're teaching in Spear Education.
Okay.
You know, if I've never been to Spear, like, where do I start? What do I do? What do you teach out there? Can you talk about both of those?
Okay, perfect. The dental laboratory is Aesthetics by Design. Again, launched about a year and a half ago, along with Greg Kinzer, Jill Kinzer, and my wife, Bobby. So it's a crown and bridge laboratory, nothing removable. It's based on high quality outcomes with three different tiers of service. So we realize that most clinicians are dealing with value-based patients, insurance-based patients. So we have a tier level that you can provide a really high quality for those individuals. An intermediate tier for those people seeking out better aesthetic outcomes, and then quote master level work that you can show internationally on main stage anywhere. So those types of cases are fewer and farther between because the costs are higher, but we're trying to provide a service of a laboratory that offers different levels of service to meet the need of all of your patients within your practice. And most importantly, though, the laboratory is based on collaboration and interaction with the practitioner to help treatment plan cases. So I've trained the staff as well as myself and Greg Kinzer can get involved in treatment planning cases and help the clinicians take what they're learning in their real world practice or their education that they're getting. And so it's the collaboration is the, one of the key elements of the lab. And then from Spear Education perspective, it's grown a lot over the last 11 or 12 years and gone from seminars to workshops to online education, both webinars and clinical content and online patient education and so forth. So because of COVID in the last year, the on-site has been limited, but we would have 300 people attend seminars live. And then our workshops are three-day workshops. And of course, those are all live. We're back 100% operational with our workshops. So where do you start? I encourage everyone to start maybe by looking at online seminars, but really trying to get on campus and get engaged in workshops. Because as everyone knows, you begin to implement things not only when you learn a concept, but when you develop your confidence and competence, and you can do that in growing and learning in a workshop. In addition to that, we have study clubs, hundreds and hundreds of study clubs that you can get involved with, and then you can be local based, and we provide content for those study clubs. So, yeah, if you go on to the website, where Spear or ebdlab.com, you can learn a little bit more about what both entities have to offer.
Yeah, I highly encourage you to check it out. On top of it, you meet excellent people, and they're actually quite fun, too, after
that. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the community at Spear is really enjoyable. It's it's really fabulous.
Yeah, the relationships are the ones that you take forever. You guys just make me laugh so hard. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Bobby, I really appreciate you being on. I know you're a super busy guy, and I love having you on whenever we can get you on. I'm talking about anything. So thank you very much, my friend, for being on.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity and look forward to the next limo ride to Rouse's house.
There you go. And maybe we can egg him on and make that happen. Again, those are just fun stuff. So, all right. Well, cool. We'll stick around while I say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor. Hit the share button, share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to hear from Bob, for anybody else. I'll get him back and we'll ask him the questions. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.